T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
2 down, 1 more to go. This is Sports Talk third hour here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. Just got a text from my pop, my dad, listening to you in Chicago. He says, yeah, because he's smart. He downloaded the Odyssey app and can listen to us wherever you go around the world. Odyssey app is your friend. Also, just wrapped up an interview with Drew Brees, former Saints quarterback. If you missed it, want to hear it again, you can rewind on the Odyssey app to check it out. Mike Haas and Steve Geller this hour from London. Also, Brandon Lang, sports handicapper, and Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. First, though, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines, Walter on the West Bank. Go ahead, Walter. You're on WWL.
Okay, guys, I got one question to ask you. Brees would make a great coach, but he'd never be a coach. But what he's saying, with their offense, they had an audible out a bunch of plays to make a play work right, okay? Do you see the Saints right now in the first 3 games making audibles out of plays where they can make it, where they can get first downs and everything?
No.
Do you?
No. No.
And I know there's been times on the air.
The playbook, the game plan for opposing defenses, and Minnesota's going to do it too. They're going to pressure Jameis Winston. Blitz Jameis Winston. Look, defenses do that to quarterbacks regularly that they don't really respect. Okay? And when you do respect them, just like you saw it a little bit from the Saints, you saw it, you see it from time to time with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, you saw it with the Buccaneers when the Saints were playing them, they're going to drop 8 for quarterbacks that they know are going to burn them on the blitz, so they drop 8 to shrink the windows, and you're not giving up the big play. And you're not seeing that from defenses that are going after the Saints on offense. All right, Walter, thanks for the phone call.
Are you still there? No, huh?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Lloyd, Brees said you got to have it in between the ears to be a good quarterback in the NFL, okay? And you got – I'm not saying Winston don't have it, but as of now, he hasn't shown that he can read the defense.
Walter, I can't offer you a counter. Thank you, Walter. Appreciate the phone call. All right, we'll step away and come back. Brandon Lang, sports handicapper, BrandonLang.com. We'll check in on some action for this week in college and pro football. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, each and every Thursday, we talk to a friend of the program, Brandon Lang, sports handicapper at BrandonLang.com, host of Believe Me with Cordell Stewart. And Brandon, I think now you know that you're talking to Christian and Bobby is off on Thursdays, right?
Hi, Christian. How you doing, Christian? Man, Christian, it's so good to talk to you on Thursday night. I missed you, Christian. Lot of winners last week on your show. Gave out a couple great stats, Christian. And hopefully, Christian, we can keep it going this week, Christian.
I'll leave it alone after that, Brandon. Any action on tonight's game with the Dolphins visiting Joe Burrow and company in the Bengals?
Yeah, it's funny. If I were to read you these stats, right? If I were to read you these following stats, okay, I just want your opinion on this, okay? They outgained them. If Buffalo outgained Miami 495-212. Time of possession was 40 minutes to 20. First downs was 32-15. What would you say the final score was?
I'm bad at this kind of stuff. I don't know.
Two touchdown winner.
Yeah. I would say double-digit win.
Buffalo turned it over in the red zone and couldn't convert fourth and goal at the 2-yard line to win the game inside 2 minutes. So you're Miami, and now you've been displaced by the hurricane. You've been up in Cincinnati, so your routine and your schedule has been affected. You've just opened up the season with an emotional win over Belichick and the Patriots, came from 3 touchdowns down at Baltimore in the fourth quarter to win, and then you win an emotional game over Buffalo in the manner, which you did. Now in a short week, you got to go into Cincinnati and find the energy that your defense was on the field for 90 snaps. And that humidity, bro, there's a right side to a game and a wrong side to a game. And if a team's going to get blown out tonight, they get blown out because they got nothing left in the tank. So I think the line right now is at 3.5. I'd spend the 30 cents and or 20 cents by the half point, lay 3 with Cincinnati.
You know, I wanted to ask you, too, about the Jacksonville Jaguars. How do you think they're for real? Who have they beaten? I mean, there's a lot of love, I think, going on early with Jacksonville. Are you a buyer or seller on Jacksonville?
Why not? Who have they beaten? They absolutely dominated a Colts team, which I came on your show last week and said, because everybody thought the Colts were garbage and everybody said the Colts are horrible for losing down in Jacksonville, which was a place they haven't won until 2013. And I said, be careful. I said, it wouldn't shock me. I said, right here on your show last Thursday night, I said, don't be surprised. Colts beat Chiefs. I said, take the 5.5, take the Colts plus the points. People thought I was crazy. And I said, it's a weird thing in the NFL when you get shut out and you come back home and you're an underdog. I said, it's weird. And you had a 10-0 against the spread stat going with the Colts facing undefeated opponents at home as a dog of 7 or less. So Jags dominate the Colts, go out to Chargers, dominate the Chargers, and now they're in Philly. I think they're real. Let me say that right now. But I also think Philadelphia is real. And Doug Peterson, 0-10 against the spread in the second of consecutive away games, 0-4 against the spread versus the NFC East. So if there was a letdown that was going to happen, it would be right here, back-to-back, on the road after the big emotional win. I just don't think you can go against Philadelphia right now. I don't.
No, I think they're the best team in the NFC currently. I mean, Hurts is really improved as a passer. I mean, tremendously improved. Going back to his days, remember at Alabama? I mean, he couldn't throw the football very accurately. He got yanked. Anyway.
I would say this, that the addition probably of all the offseason moves by every team in the NFL, all the free agent signings, Devontae Adams going to the Raiders, all of them, the number one biggest pickup and best sign was A.J. Brown going to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
That absolutely has opened up their offense. And Devontae Smith, I'm telling you, people better be careful in the Philadelphia Eagles because the eye test tells you they're for real. I think they're the right side of the game on Sunday.
Brandon Lang, handicapper, BrandonLang.com, also host of Believe Me with Cordell Stewart. Brandon, LSU favored by 9 on the road against Auburn. That just goes to show you what odds makers think of the Auburn football program, and Coach Harsin might be on his way out, but 9 points. Have you seen enough from LSU to take those points and put money on LSU?
Well, I've seen enough of Auburn, you know, to see Penn State go in there and dominate Auburn in the manner in which they did. And then they go back to Happy Valley and they struggle with a Mid-American Conference school in Central Michigan. That was a one-score game, two-possession game pretty much the entire way. So I doubt the validity of Auburn losing and getting dominated by Penn State the way they did. I don't trust them. I think LSU, again, I'm not a big road chalk guy. You should know that about me. I hate road chalk. I can't stand laying road chalk. But in this case, I've seen enough that tells me that LSU's the right side of the game. And I think you're right. He's on his way out.
What's your best college play?
So here's your stat. So Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, his last 57 home games. Pay attention to this now. His last 57 home games, he's only lost 2 of them by double digits. They're a 10.5-point home underdog to Michigan. And I say to you again, 55-2 stat going right into Iowa plus the points. Keep an eye on NC State plus 6.5 over Clemson, TCU plus 6.5 over Oklahoma, and Kansas plus 3.5 over Iowa State. 4-dog night, my brother.
Brandon, thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, bud.
All right, there he goes. Sports handicapper. BrandonLang.com is where you can find him, host of Believe Me with Cordell Stewart. Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback and co-host of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, is next here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
LSU and Auburn Saturday on the Plains in Auburn. That confused team, Auburn. They're Tigers, Plainsmen, War Eagle. We welcome in now Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback and co-host of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show with me each and every Saturday that LSU is playing football, tackle football. Herb, how are you, man?
I'm great, K-Dog, man. How you making out today, buddy?
I'm good. LSU, Auburn. Look, they've got an opponent this week that is a wounded animal and just ready to be put out of their misery. Auburn, this is the worst Auburn team I've seen in a long, long time.
It's not looking too good for the War Eagle or the Tigers from Alabama, right? And, you know, the crazy part about this is one of those games where it always seems like it doesn't matter how good or poor the teams are. They're very evenly matched when it comes to talent, and the game comes down to a field goal, like literally every time. So it's almost like it's identical teams playing against each other every year, year in and year out. And it's just so weird how that happens. So I'm looking to, you know, as good as I think LSU looks defensively, I think Auburn has a great defense as well that's going to, play very well and hold us to not a lot of points, and they won't score any points either. So I think it's going to be a close game this weekend.
The odds makers say that LSU is going to win by 9 or more points. I mean, that's what they think of LSU and also what they think of Auburn. So you think it's a much closer game?
I do. I think that we have the talent to beat them by 9 or more. The problem is that this is a team that's only traveled to New Orleans and LSU. They haven't traveled anywhere beyond the state lines. They're going to a place that's going to be rowdy no matter what. I mean, they love their Tigers at Auburn. It's one of those quiet rivalry games for the Auburn Tigers. I mean, they do not like LSU, you know, and they're going to play the very best that they can play. They're playing for their coach so they can try to save their coaches stint over there at Auburn. They're going to come out ready to fire on all cylinders as well. I don't think they will fire on all cylinders. I think that they're going to play good enough on defense to stop us. We're going to score at least 3 or 6 more points than they will, and I think that's the type of game that's going to be a 3 to 6 point win for LSU personally.
Herb, what do you make of LSU through, what, 4 games? I mean, they're on a 3-game winning streak, and is it going the way that you kind of expected for Brian Kelly's first year?
So I'm a Brian Kelly fan, always have been, always will be. From what I've seen of him at Cincinnati and at Notre Dame, I think that he is always put a great product on the field. And I thought that he would definitely do that. Now, this is a little bit different. So coming off of, 30 scholarships in a bowl game last year or, 10 months away, you come out and you play the worst game you can possibly play against Florida State and still almost win. And then you go on a three-game winning streak where there's a Mississippi State team that's sprinkled in there that we should beat all the time, but you never know. But the defense is really something that we're going to really hold true to the vest because these guys are playing lights out. I don't know what Coach House is telling these guys, but he's got a group of guys that's without probably their best player, Mason Smith, that is just firing around the field, flying everywhere. They're sticking their hat on the ball. They're everywhere, and it's great to see that because our offense is starting to gain traction. We're starting to find the offensive linemen up front. We're starting to see what our backs can do. We just need Jaden Daniels to mature a little bit more in the passing game in regards to finding his first and second read and getting rid of the ball and trying not to run so much after that first or second read. So what I think right now is I think we're in a good spot. I think if anybody can have us in the spot, it's Coach Kelly. And I think moving forward, we're only going to get better. Now, we're about to go through a gauntlet in the SEC. But, I'll put this defense up against pretty much anybody in the SEC. So you got to put up points on us, and there's going to be some teams that's going to put up points. But I think that we could, you know, we can play with anybody defensively.
Short and sweet, Herb Tyler. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you on Saturday for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate you, K-Dog. See you.
All right. There he goes. Former LSU quarterback Herb Tyler, co-host of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We take air Saturday at 2 p.m. The following week again, Tennessee, we're going to be at Drago's in Metairie for our post-game coverage. Kickoff, and that one's at 11, so we're going to do the purple and gold point after live from Drago's in Metairie. Mike Haas and Steve Geller, the lowdown from London, next here on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, our Saints radio crew, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, along with Steve Geller, Saints sideline reporter in London, catching us up with the lowdown from London on the Saints as they get ready for Sunday's clash with the Minnesota Vikings. 8:30 kickoff right here on WWL. Here is Mike Haas and Steve Geller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to London. Mike Haas, along with Steve Geller. We've wrapped up practice on Thursday. Saints will practice tomorrow, Friday, then really kind of shut it down until Sunday kickoff, 2:30 London time. Clearly the talk of Wednesday practice and Thursday practice, Steve, was Jameis Winston.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming into this morning's practice, you know, you get out to the field, gorgeous rugby, London Irish hosting the Saints, and you know, you start taking attendance right away, and the first thing you want to go to is quarterbacks, obviously, because of the Jameis Winston injury, where he revealed even yesterday he's dealing with a back, an ankle, and then even threw in a hip in, which I thought was kind of curious. But once again, where Dennis Allen said he expected Winston to be back at practice, Jameis told us, too, he was going to be out there. Still no number two on the football field. It was just Andy Dalton, Taysom Hill, and
Jake Luton.
Yeah, and we saw once again Dalton taking snaps with the first team and Taysom doing second team work.
But not in a red jersey, just in his normal tight end jersey.
Right.
So, you know, even that wasn't kind of typical given the situation. So it's just, and so that everyone understands, head coach Dennis Allen did not speak to the media today, which was planned.
He never speaks on Thursday.
On Thursday, and so we did talk to Pete Carmichael and a bunch of other coaches.
He got tasked with explaining everything.
And it's, you know, it is what it is at this point. What we have is what we have, and that is, hey, he's going to meetings, he's preparing for the game. That decision will be made down the road, but it's a day-by-day kind of thing. That's what you have as of Thursday. That's where we are.
Right, and they would not rule out already saying Jameis Winston is not going to play Sunday because there's a chance he could be at practice tomorrow. You mentioned Pete Carmichael talking about Jameis still in the meetings, getting those quote-unquote mental reps, and if need be, could be ready to go Sunday. But I would definitely say it's trending strongly in the direction that we'll see action from Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, for the first time.
Well, that's what you and I have talked about just in bus routes to and from everywhere, is that, well, at some point, you have to say, we need to get Andy Dalton ready for this game.
Right.
He needs to take the snaps. He needs to, and that may be happening behind the scenes for all we know, but from a kind of a public persona standpoint, it needs to be, he's our guy, and I'm assuming we'll find that out tomorrow. It can't be another, well, we'll wait and see till a Saturday thing. That would surprise me anyway.
No, I can't imagine that Jameis Winston would not practice all week and then still be game ready for Sunday. And another big absence, obviously, today, there were some guys that came back from, you know, either being limited or do not practicing to actually get some time, but still no Michael Thomas either. That's going to be a big one, too, to see if he comes back on Friday as well.
Well, they had four initially with either limited or do not, but Deontay Hardy was back pretty much full. I mean, the surprise to me was how Jarvis Landry looked. Now, today was helmets and shells. And
right.
If it weren't London, it would have been helmets, shells, and shorts. But it was helmets, shells, and sweatpants because it was still, you know, mid-50s, upper 60s. But I thought Jarvis looked good. Traquan Smith was a full practice. So you got guys that went limited. JT Gray was full. Marcus Davenport was full.
Right. I was surprised by that one, too.
Those four wide receiver situation with Jarvis, Mike, Thomas, and Traquan, and Deontay, you're like, well, you know, can't have all four can't be gone. But I think it's
no, and Traquan being back from concussion protocol was so surprising to me as well. I thought he'd be out definitely this week, but it looks like he's definitely on track to be playing Sunday.
So I think it'll be everybody but Mike Thomas, which was, you know, with his injury with the ankle and the foot, it didn't surprise me terribly, but I was pretty surprised at just how well Jarvis moved around today with, you know, hard cuts and doing what they did. Again, it was, there's no full pads, you know, at this juncture.
What also is interesting, though, is that the tight end, Taysom Hill, is listed as limited, but we saw him doing full reps as the second-team quarterback. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. And if it is an Andy Dalton situation where he is starting on Sunday, does that mean Taysom's the backup quarterback and not even playing tight end is a question?
I think he has to be. Because you're not going to have a third quarterback even active,
right?
I wouldn't think.
Right.
You don't have the luxury to do that. So if he's going to be your, if Jameis doesn't go, and this is all, you know, we're just making, you know, who knows? We're you know, playing this out.
Right. Just trying to figure it out. What's dealt to us right now.
If Jameis doesn't go and or is inactive, and then Andy Dalton gets the start, and Taysom is number two, he's got to be your number two. That's what happened when Jameis got hurt in the Halloween game at Tampa. Well, I initially thought, well, it's Jameis. I mean, it's
Taysom. It's going to be Taysom,
but it was Trevor Siemian.
Exactly.
Because he was more kind of in that situation. But now, this week, just from Wednesday, Thursday, with Taysom taking those snaps as the kind of second-team guy, I don't see how you could play him a tight end. If he got hurt and Dalton got hurt, you'd have, I mean, there are a lot of guys on that team that all play, they all play quarterback somewhere along the way. You know,
and we know, like, Alvin Kamara is the emergency quarterback, exactly.
So you just don't know, but it's been, today was a lot of positive news, I thought, just from getting some guys back that you weren't sure about.
Right, because the injury list was 13 people on Wednesday, which panicked everybody.
And Jameis was just a surprise. It's just, there was just no, well, what's going on? What is happening? And we'll learn more from Dennis Allen. Pete Carmichael did the best he could to kind of explain the situation.
Yeah, it's definitely curious with the Jameis Winston situation of what they're so hesitant about letting us know. Is it to be some of that sportsmanship so Minnesota doesn't know who to prepare for kind of thing, which is another interesting aspect of the Vikings arriving today. I don't know how they're going to be adjusted in time for Sunday, but according to their quote-unquote sports science guys, they feel like they have enough time to get acclimated here. I feel like I'm just getting into the flow of things now in London time right now.
I heard somebody talk about it, and kind of their plan was to be here such a short time that you would be back on Central Time before your body clocks had a chance, because they left late today. They had like interviews today,
this morning,
Thursday
right.
morning Central Time, and then we're going to fly in and get here either overnight or in the morning Friday. But that's, the Saints are one of the few teams that really do it like they do. Most of the teams who do this series internationally do come over on Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday. They don't do what the Saints do.
Yeah, that blows my mind. Right. Just because, to me, I was pretty much useless Tuesday after we got here Monday, just trying to get caught up on everything. So to me, the Vikings Friday for the players almost seems like a wash. And then Saturday, what are you going to do Saturday before the game? You're not going to be too intense in your workout. Right. And so Sunday, they're going to come into it. I don't know. We'll see. Either really refreshed or really, really jet lags. It'll be interesting for sure.
Well, it's been a London surprise. Typically, we go to practice and we watch and we're done and you get some time. But it's been every practice is who's going to be there? Will Jameis be there? Every practice is rather important. And we'll find out tomorrow if Jameis is at practice and what head coach Dennis Allen has to say.
Yeah, and just what's too, just because of the proximity of where everything is, covering the team is truly a full day event because of traveling to practice, then traveling to the team hotel, then traveling back to your hotel and dealing with traffic or logistics, other logistics. It's been interesting for sure.
It has been. Steve, thank you for your time. We will join you again tomorrow and give you your Friday update, London time, as you get ready for Saints and the Vikings Sunday, 8:30. I'm sorry to say, who dat's 8:30 your time. So get up and get ready.
Who dat?
London Lowdown with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas and sideline reporter Steve Geller. They'll be back tomorrow. Him and Deuce in particular, Haas and Deuce, you'll hear from them quite often. I'll be filling in on the fans and the pros it's going to be, it would be 10 o'clock to midnight for them doing a show. So we just decided to have them record a couple things, and I'll be in tomorrow 4 to 6 on the Fans and the Pros. Jimmy and Gretna, go ahead, Jimmy, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, how's it going?
Good, Jimmy. Thank you.
Hey, look, I'll ask you a direct question, and maybe some of the listeners who are still listening to the end of the show can chime in on this. And I want to get your full opinion on this because, you know, typically I'll call in and you, Mike, and Bobby are, you know, and, you know, once Bobby gets to talking, forget about it. So I want to get Christian's take on this. Okay, so let's paint a picture here for the Saints fans and what's transpired with the quarterback position. Last year, and you know I'm a Taysom fan, is he the QB1 solution? No. I don't think Jameis is either, Christian. But look, remember last year, Christian, we played Dallas in the Dome. Taysom had a torn ligament in his middle finger. He threw 4 interceptions. I'm not
He had hammer
him.
Finger. Remember, it was hammer
yeah,
finger.
It was on his throwing hand, from what I understand. He had a torn ligament on his middle finger, and he threw. He had a horrible game, Christian. I was there. It was horrible. I'm not defending him for that. But he had an injury, and, he, you know, I think the way that manifested, Christian, is, look, he waited so long to become a starter or thought he could become a quarterback in the NFL, even though he's 8-2 as a starter in his career, which is pretty good, as much as people bag on him. And he didn't want to sit out that game because he thought if he didn't play, he'd never get another shot. It wasn't the right choice. He had a horrible game. Let's fast forward to the first 3 games this year. Jameis takes 10 sacks in the first 2 games. He obviously has a back injury. And back to Taysom, the Saints fans crucified Taysom. They said, you're not good because of the injuries. Okay, you're not a good quarterback. Fast forward to Jameis Winston. They're basically saying, guess what? You got a hall pass because you struggled because of the back injury. So why is there a double standard with this? And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Jimmy, I don't think there's a double standard. I think that because of the injury, it's kind of convenient for the Saints to say, hey, Jameis, let's take it easy with you. And I don't think Jameis is going to play this week. In fact, I'm so confident that I'd be willing to put money on it because you miss Wednesday and Thursday. Let me put it in perspective as to what Wednesday and Thursdays mean to NFL teams. Wednesday is your base install offensively, and then Thursday is usually red zone install or third down install, and Friday being the other, whether it's third down or red zone, which whatever you do on Thursday, you do the opposite on Friday. And he's missed both of those days, and all of a sudden he's going to show up on Friday and maybe practice? I don't believe it. I think there's some gamesmanship going on here, but I also think that it's kind of one of those deals where, hey, Jameis, you're injured. We got to give the best guy, the healthy guy, the opportunity. And if Andy Dalton ends up playing well and winning, he's going to start the following week against the Seahawks. Just kind of one of those things, life in the NFL. All right, that's a wrap. Thursday Night Football, Joe Burrow and the Bengals take on Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. I want to thank Charlie Long at Master Control, Stephen Geller, for helping us put together the program, and our operations and brand manager, Diane Newman. I'm Christian Garrick. Semper Fi, I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.